Acts chapter 2, I want to call your attention. I would read the whole passage of Scripture this morning, but I'm going to kind of interrupt the story. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ met with his disciples. He said, you tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. Now, I want to remind you that they have for 3.5 years walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, they rubbed shoulders with the Son of God incarnate in human flesh. They saw him resurrect dead people. They saw him heal lame limbs, open blind eyes. They saw him as he preached great messages. But the Lord said this to them, you fellowship with me and you walk with me and you've heard me teaching and to preach. But in order to be effective, you've got to have the anointing and the power of God. And he said, you wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. Acts chapter 2, that takes place. It's called, also happened on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit of God came to empower them, fill them to overflowing. And it was not them. It was God that worked. And we pick up the story. Peter has preached along with the others, and they've been witnessing, and he's preached the message here on the day of Pentecost. But I want to pick up just the reading at verse 39. And he said, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they which gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. My, what a time they had. What a revival. They had prayed in that upper room, and the Holy Spirit of God came, and they had just an awesome one-time experience. Now, you and I, who are saved by the grace of God, the Bible said that when we get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes in our heart crying, Abba, Father. But for me and you, there's also a special anointing for service, a special anointing for soul winning, and it happens many, many times in our life. Old Dr. C.I. Scofield used to say that there's one baptism of the Holy Spirit, but many fillings. You're baptized into the body of Christ by the person of the Holy Spirit of God. He indwells you and lives inside of you. But on and on and on, you need a fresh touch, a fresh anointing. And that's what revival is all about. It's a blessing when God does that. Look, it just briefly as way of introduction, verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort. Now, testify means to tell the truth. They preached the truth to them, and then they pleaded with them and exhorted. I hear some people say, well, all you need to do is just preach the truth and let it go. But I believe from this testimony that you ought to preach the truth, but then you ought to plead with people. Paul said, I pray that you'll be reconciled to God. He pleaded with them. It's my heart's desire for Israel that they might be saved. He had a burden. It's good for you to share the testimony, to share the truth. But you ought to be urgent in that and make an appeal to people to trust the Lord Jesus Christ or to live for God. And so they, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, they preach that. And then they plead with them. Now, in this passage of Scripture, you'll notice earlier, previous to my reading, he's talked about the sacrificial death of Christ. He said Christ came to give his life a ransom, to die. And to die for you. And then when he says this, save yourself, he's not talking about work salvation. He's talking about you responding to the gospel message. You can hear the gospel, but the gospel must be received. Brother Cabot was talking this morning about having a word from the Lord, but he said that's a two-way street. They have to have a word from the Lord, but then you have to have a hearing and a receiving heart, a hearing ear and a receiving heart. And so he's pleaded with them. Now you've heard the gospel. Now you know what you ought to do. Now do it. Now respond. Save yourself. Respond in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, notice what happened. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. Boy, what a time. 3,000 got saved. Boy, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost of God had come. They were filled to overflowing. They came out. They were so excited out of that upper room. Many people said they were drunk. They acted like drunk men. They were so full of joy, so full of happiness, and such boldness. They said they were drunk. And boy, listen, 3,000 people get saved, passed from death into life. I mean, all their sins are gone. I can imagine they were having a time. They were shouting her out. But now, the message that God's laid on my heart really begins at verse 42. And notice what it said. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And many came upon, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted to them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and in the and in breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Will you bow with me for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, this morning for being able to be in the house of God. Thank you for this good number gathered here, for all our friends who join us by the means of internet, those on the radio. Thank you, our Father, for the great singing of the congregation and the choir this morning. Thank you, our Father, for Brother Brad and his family and his faithfulness to work with the young people and to work with the choir, to be in revival every night and to be here last night even. Our Father, I know it's been a long week for him, working all day long in Raleigh and coming back every night. But God, you bless him, give him strength. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord, for him and God for the anointing on his singing this morning. And God, I'm glad. We do thank you for Calvary. We want to cling to the old rugged cross. And God, I pray right now for that anointing that'll make the difference. I pray, God, you'd fill me with the Holy Ghost. Our Father, I bow before you this morning with grateful hearts. Lord, I love you. And God, you've been so good to me. And God, unless you speak this morning, nothing of eternal consequence will take place. I pray, God, you'd speak, and I'll praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to call your attention now to just a couple of words in the little text that I've read to you. Look at verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly. If you mark your Bible, would you mark that little word, continued? Continued. And look down at verse number 46. And they continually, daily. Underline that little word, continually. Continuing. Continuing. They continued and continuing. You know what? Here's the proof of the pudding. Will you continue? You've prayed and you sought God. You fasted and God answered prayer. Now, it's no accident what happened during the week. Taylor got saved. God blessed. Folk came. And you know why? I know God used Brother Randy. But the truth of the matter is, I believe God heard prayer. He said this, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins. I'll heal the land. The answer is prayer. And I'm going to tell you, they continued. Here's these people in the excitement of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit of God, those men who were filled with the Holy Spirit of God in the upper room, cloven tongues of fire set upon them. They came out, preached. People heard them in their own language. I'm telling you what a high time that was. And it was so powerful that 3,000 people got saved in one day. But what blessed and what grew the church is not just that one-time experience. It was the continuing that followed that. My dear friend, it is imperative that we continue to do some things for the glory of God. Notice what this passage of Scripture says. And listen, it says in verse number 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The next word is fellowship. Now, somehow or another, Baptists have got that all backwards. We put the fellowship first and the doctrine second. We talk about the fact that everybody ought to get along, not just Baptists, but a lot of other people. And they key everything around having a big old time and everybody getting along and having good time and good feel-good meetings. But the truth of the matter is that doctrine comes before the fellowship. Doctrine, the truth of the Word of God, comes before the fellowship. There can be no real fellowship. I got to reading and studying a little bit on that word continued. Continued. They continued. And I God laid this on my heart. Continue is to remain firm in a position, in a practice, or in principle. They continued in that practice, in their position, and in that principle. Some years ago, there's an 1814 edition of Webster's, original Webster's Dictionary. It's about that wide. Joel Shelby Moss bought me one. And in Daniel Webster's first dictionary he published, every definition just about in there has a Bible verse in it. When he defines the word's defined, he always goes back and gives you a scripture to go with it. And so I remember that. So I went and pulled that down, and I looked it up. I said, I want to look at this word continued. I want you to listen to it. To continue, here's what Daniel Webster said. He said this, it is, first of all, to remain in a state or place to abide for an indefinite time. I mean, that is to stay in a place and to abide for an indefinite length of time. I mean to stay, to be faithful, to say somewhere and be faithful. Now, I'll tell you something. It's a good thing to come to in revival, but praise God, the proof will come tonight at 6:30. See if you're going to come back. Faithful to the house of God. Faithful. And they remain faithful. Now, notice, he says this about it. It means to last or to be durable, to endure, and to be permanent. To endure suggests this. There's going to be things that would come against you. Somebody said, it endured the test of time. Now, will your decision, will your commitment, will your repentance, will it stand the test of time? Will it endure when Satan comes against you? You have all kind of burdens and problems. Will you be faithful? Will you continue? Will you keep on going? To endure, I mean, regardless of what comes, good time, bad times, happy times, sad time, sickness, burden, will you be faithful to be in the house of God? If you need an example, Brother Donnie's not here, and I'm not lifting him up above anybody else in this building, but you watch Donnie Tippett. If you want to see somebody who's got the goods, if you want to see somebody who is continuing, listen, his wife got cancer. She died at the age of 50. I was there with him through the whole thing. During that time, he had this problem with his hip, couldn't walk, had to have a hip transplant. During the time of planning for that hip transplant, the company he worked for went out of business, bankrupt. He lost his insurance, lost everything else, and he kept being faithful. His wife died, lost his job, had to have hip replacement. He's still faithful. He's still here. He's still working. He's still serving. Shortly after that, he's diagnosed with lung cancer. They took out 1/3 of the lung on the left-hand side and had to treat him with all the treatments, but he's still faithful. Just a little while ago, several months ago now, diagnosed with cancer in his other lung. And then when they got ready to go in and repair something, they got to do a further scan, found that it had spread up into his chest cavity and into his esophagus. They went through all of those treatments, everything else. And you know what Donnie said? Donnie said, I'm going to live long enough to cook in camp meeting. He said, if I had to prop up, and I said, Donnie, there's some other people who'll do that. He said, no, I've got some going to help me. TG's going to help me, and Barry and LaVon and different ones have volunteered to help me. And he's faithful. He's faithful. He's here for that singing Saturday night. He's been through all those treatments, everything else, and he's faithful. Listen, I want to ask you a question. How many of you are going to quit coming when you have a stuffy nose or a hangnail? You know? I mean, listen, I'm convinced that if you got the goods, you're going to continue. You're going to be faithful. If you've made some sort of emotional decision, if you've just been moved emotionally, if you just got caught up in the moment, it won't last a month. But I tell you, the key is this, they continued. They continued. And Daniel Webster not only said it is one, it means to persevere, to be steadfast, to be constant in any cause. I mean, we're going to be faithful. We're going to keep. It means not to cease or to terminate. And an example of that, he said, is in Psalms 36, verse 10, where they said, O Lord, he said this, continue thy loving kindness and thy righteousness toward Israel. Wouldn't it be something if God's loving kindness to you was as continual or as consistent as your faithfulness to the things of God in the house of God? Wouldn't it be something if God loved you one time a week? Wouldn't it be something if God blessed you just in a time of revival? Well, I'll tell you something. Oh, Israel prayed and David prayed in Psalm. Oh, God, I pray that your loving kindness will continue and your righteousness will continue. That means not to cease, to keep on going, to keep on going. And also, Daniel Webster said, it means to extend from one thing to another. It means it is a consistency. It is a progression. It is a growth. It says when they continued, number one, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. That means that they stayed by the stuff. I'm amazed that over the years of my brief ministry, not quite 50 years now, how many people I've known who changed their doctrinal position. I mean, they don't believe like they used to believe in a lot of areas. I'm not talking about personal preferences. I'm talking about the truth of the Word of God. I'm talking about your belief in the Bible and in God's Word. Notice it said they continued in the apostles' doctrine. And matter of fact, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, it says this, have no fellowship, That is, don't have anything, don't interact with them, don't fellow, and I'll say a word about fellowship in a minute, with the unfruitful workers of darkness. You see, the test of real fellowship is what you believe. What you believe about the Bible, what you believe about the Word of God. The Bible said in the book of Job, chapter and verse number three, it said that we should earnestly contend for the faith. Take your Bible and turn over to the book of 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want to read this to you, beginning at verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. And be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, I've always read that verse, that it means to get to the place where they don't want to hear it. Now, that's true. That is true. It is true that today people, and Randy was telling us during about his meetings, a lot of people canceling meetings, everything, because they don't want somebody to preach the old-time truth. But it means more than that. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That means that they will not stay with sound doctrine. They will gravitate away from truth. They will go away from the truth of the Word of God. And he said, when they begin to do that, what happens? When people get where they don't believe the basic truth of the Word of God, it said this, but after their own lusts, that is an old human nature. That is, I want to feel good. I want to be able to do my thing. And if there's something in the Bible that contradicts my lifestyle, what I'm going to do, I'm not going to change my lifestyle. I'll just change my belief. I'm going to just change my doctrine. If the Bible is against what I'm doing, I'm going to start believing something different. And that way I can feel like I'm religious and still live just like I want to. That's what happens in the last days. Hey, we're there. We're there. And he said the day's coming that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn unto fables. Hey, listen. He said this, I want you to continue in the truth of the Word of God. Continue in sound doctrine. And these disciples did that. Look over in the Gospel of John in chapter number 8, verse 31. John in chapter 8 and verse 31. Listen to what our Lord said. He said this, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He said this, he said, the proof of the pudding is, will you continue in my word? Will you continue in what I've taught you? Will you be faithful to what I have instructed you in the Word of God? There are so many other passages of scriptures related to that. Go back to the book of 2 Timothy, if you will, and chapter number 3 this time. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me call your attention to a passage of scripture here and beginning down at verse number 14. Look at verse 14 in chapter 3. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Paul is admonishing Timothy. He said, now remember where you're at when you first got started. Old brother Farrell Osborne used to say, are you standing where you used to stood where you first got started? Do you still believe this is the Word of God, infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God? You still believe the Bible? Say amen. You believe the Bible. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God and that He is God incarnate in human flesh? He did not become God. He is the eternal God. He is God. I believe that. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that. And even the Mormons don't believe that. They believe that He became God or He grew into a status of God. My dear friend, Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. That's not going to change. Do you believe what Jesus said, what the Word of God said? There's one God. There's not a lot of gods. There are false gods, but there's only one true God. Only one true God. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, and that man is the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one. Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Do you still believe there's only one way to go to heaven? I don't care who they are. I don't care how many television programs they've got. I don't care. There's only one way to get to heaven. That's Jesus Christ. Hadn't changed from that. Hadn't changed. And it's still the truth. It's still the truth that Jesus Christ is God incarnate in human flesh. Still believe in the sacrificial death of Christ. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Do you continue in that? That is that you, do you maintain that position? And do you live that life? And that principle, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, do you believe there's a heaven and a hell? I do. Do you believe the Bible teaches that there is fire and torment in that hell? Do you believe that that soul that sins, it shall die, but it is not annihilated? That in hell, that man lift up his eyes, being in torment? Do you believe that when people die, saved, they go to heaven? Absent from the body, present with the Lord? Do you believe that when they die lost, they're in hell for all eternity? Hell has not cooled off one degree, not one, from the time the Bible was written and the Lord spoke that parable until right now. Hell is real. Heaven is real. And thank God for that. Do you believe that the only way to be saved, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself? It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you still believe that the only way to go to heaven is by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting Him as your Savior and Lord? Is that what you teach? Is that what you preach? Do you believe that? Do you believe in the doctrine of these disciples? Do you believe what they taught, what they preached? And are we still standing on that truth? You think about that. Over 2,000 years, and we still believe what they believe. Continue in the apostles' doctrine. He admonished them. Paul writes in the book of Hebrews, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Even in that day, there were those who were trying to have little friends meetings and everything else and not assemble with God's people in a local gathering. Do you still believe that it's important to meet with God's people at the house of God? Do you do that? Do you believe what he said? He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm going to show you something. I'll get to that in a minute. I might get ahead of myself. But notice, the Word of God is the key. Do you believe the Bible? And he admonished young Timothy. He said, you were taught the Scriptures when you were a little boy. He said, that's where you got your foundation at. Do you still believe that? I want you to continue in the Word of God. Now, God moved on your heart in revival. Listen, Brother Randy, challenge you. Get in this book. Read this Bible. Read this Bible. Randy, in one of the first messages, he's talking about how much time that we spend watching television, how much time we really spend in the Word of God. This Bible can saturate your soul. It'll get inside of you. It'll permeate you. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Read the Word of God. I want you to continue in the Word of God. Read it. Study it. Get in the Word of God. Ask God, the Holy Ghost, to show you something. I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but how many of you have ever been reading your Bible and God, the Holy Spirit, spoke a truth to your heart? Not that I preached it or Randy preached or anybody else preached it. Not that Brother Barry Mitchell or Levon or any of our other great Sunday school teachers. Not that they said it and you said, boy, that's something. But how many times have you been reading the Word of God and God, the Holy Ghost, spoke a truth to you, made it real to you? Now, I'm going to tell you, I get blessed. I've heard about every great preacher that lived in my lifetime. Most of them in heaven now. And I'm going to tell you, God blessed me. I remember things they said, everything else. But I'm going to tell you what, when I read the Word of God, and I've read the Word of God over the years, and God spoke a truth to my heart, God showed me something I hadn't seen before, I'm going to tell you, that makes it so personal. And that's not just for preachers. That's for every woman in here, for every man in here. My dear friend, you ought to get, listen, he said, continue in the Word of God. You can't lay your Bible around now because revival's over with. You need to get in the Word of God. Now, notice the second thing. Notice it said this in the book of Acts. Not only did they continue in the apostles' doctrine, but doctrine comes before fellowship. Remember that. You can't have fellowship. How can two walk together except they agree? If they don't believe the Word of God, does that mean you can't be cordial? Does that mean you can't interact with them in business in some way? If you have a place of business? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it means that it says to me there's something more to this fellowship than spaghetti suppers. and in fellowship. He said, you have no fellowship with the unfruitful workers of darkness. And this fellowship means more than just getting together and eating bologna sandwiches or hot dogs, as much as I love hot dogs. You can't fellowship with people who don't really believe like you believe. You can't have this kind of fellowship. What kind of fellowship? Paul talked about the fellowship of the gospel. Notice, if you will, please, in this same passage of Scripture, look down at verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. Here's the basis of that fellowship. It has to do with their interacting on the basis of their doctrine, what they believe, around the house of God. That's where it originates at. It starts there. That fellowship is initiated by their being at the house of God. Notice something else about this fellowship. It has to do with them being in one accord. One accord. That is, insofar as their doctrinal belief, they believe the same thing. They believe the same thing. They believe the basic, some of the basic truth I just talked to you about. They believe that. And they fellowshiped based on that. Oh, I'd love to talk about fishing and hunting and ball, this, that, and the other. Our friends visited over here from Georgia, from Tennessee. I said, you know, and them Vols beat the dogs. And Randy's not here. He's a dog fan. He's from Georgia. But you know what? Our fellowship, we can be cordial, be friendly. But there is something unique about getting around somebody who's been born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, washed in the blood. That is a unique fellowship with them that you can't have with anybody else. I mean, listen, you get around the house of God, God puts you with people that love you. People talk about coming in this building, they feel something different. Listen, they met daily in the temple in one accord. There was a unity of their belief. There was a unity of their purpose. What are we about? What are we about? Going to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That's unity of purpose. There's that one accord in the fact that we want to see people saved. That's what it's all about. Having a burden. We pray for one another. We pray for one another's kids. We pray for one another's family. And when they get saved, we rejoice just like mom and dad and grandma and everybody else did. We rejoice in them. Unity of purpose. That is to see people saved. Unity of purpose. They got together and they continued in that. Now, you want to have revival? You know, it ought not to be if Randy or anybody else comes that folk he've met in revival, that we have to go gather them up and get them back in to be in revival. Hey, when he walks in the door, you ought to already be here. You ought to already be faithful. He ought not have to wonder where you are. And you think about that. You think about it. And listen, whether it's me or Brother Randy, if you're not here, I miss you. If you're not here, I wonder where you are. I wonder if you're all right. If you're not here, I wonder what's going on. And we miss you. Other people miss you. But I ask you something else. When this body of believers comes together, the fellowship in one accord at the house of God, I wonder, does the Lord miss you? I wonder, does the Lord, if he's appointed this day, if he's appointed this meeting, if he's the one who laid out the plan for revival, if God is in it, then I wonder if God misses you when you're not here. I wonder if he was expecting to be here. I wonder if he had planned and laid something on Brother Brad's heart to sing, or the choir to sing, or the special singers to sing, or the man of God to preach, and God put something in their heart that would give you something special to take you down the road. And God had all that laid out for you. Something to bless you with the singing. Something to bless you with the fellowship. Something to bless you with God's people. Something to bless you in the Word of God. And you didn't show up. I'll tell you, when I was pastoring up in Reedsville, Roy Rigdon was coming to preach a revival for me. And I had this family in my church. And that several family members were very faithful. And the mother really wasn't all that faithful. But they wanted to plan a big meal for Brother Roy coming in. And they planned this big meal when they came in. He came all the way from Florida. He's living in Florida at the time. And something happened. He got detained late. And they wanted to have supper just before the first night of revival. I've learned over the years that you don't plan anything, not a meal, right before service. But they planned that big meal. Roy couldn't help it. He was detained. He was late. We got there. We went by their house. We couldn't stay 5 minutes. They had all this food laid out there. And we apologized and we prayed. We swallowed a real quick bite, took off, went to house. I went to church. You know what? That lady got mad as the devil over that. She said, I'd worked for 2 days getting ready, all that stuff. And she got mad because she had all that laid out for us and for Brother Roy. He couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. It just happened. My dear friend, she had it all planned and we didn't show up. I wonder if God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, orchestrates singing and orchestrates messages and orchestrates the fellowship and has everything laid out for you and you don't show up. I wonder how he feels. Continue. They continued in fellowship, and their fellowship was based on their doctrine, and it was based on their assembling around the house of God. But it was more to it than that. They were in one accord. They were in one accord. Notice, if you will, please, in the book of Hebrews, if you don't turn there, write this down. Hebrews 13:1. Let me read it to you. Listen to what it says. Let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. And notice over in the Gospel of John, once again, our Lord. Listen to this. This is powerful. John 15 and verse number 9. Continue. Continue in doctrine. I mean, the Word of God, get in the Word of God, stay in the Word of God, read the Word of God, grow in the Word of God, live the Word of God, share the Word of God, be faithful. Continue in the Word of God. Continue in fellowship. And that fellowship had its origin around the house of God. They had all things common. There was unity of their presence. There was unity of their purpose. There was unity in this, in their passion. Notice what the Lord said in chapter number 15 and verse number 9. He said this, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Wow. Let brotherly love continue. Their basis of fellowship was based on their love for one another. They just loved to be together. And Jesus said this, as the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Now you continue my love. What's that mean? It means that Jesus loved me like God the Father loved him, and God, the Lord Jesus, wants me to love you like Jesus loves you. Wow. I mean, if you had a church somewhere where people love one another like Jesus loved them, wouldn't that be something? I mean, to walk into a place where there was genuine, real love, not wanting to get nothing out of you, but they just loved you. They wanted the very best for you. They were concerned about you. They loved you. They were concerned about you. I'm glad to say, thank God, that's real around here. Maybe not as real as it ought to be in my life and a lot of our lives. But he said this. He said, you let brotherly love continue. Continue in doctrine. Continue in that fellowship. And that fellowship is based on one of love. Loving the Lord. Loving one another. Loving one another. As God loved Christ and Christ loved us, we'll love one another like that. Love like that. And that's what it means, that fellowship. That deep fellowship they had one for another. It was based on their love, and they loved like Jesus loved. But there's another step to it. Notice in this, if you will, in Acts chapter 2, notice what it says in this passage of Scripture. And they continued in doctrine and in fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. They kept on praying. You think they prayed at Pentecost and just quit? No, they kept right on praying. And if anything, their prayers intensified. They prayed. Many of you prayed this meeting. You prayed for individual church families. Our deacons prayed for certain church families by name every day. God says, give me grace. I have prayed for every member of this church every day by name, except for one day, and I did that later in the afternoon. I didn't get the chance to do it that morning because of some other things. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to quit. I did it this morning, and I'll do it till Jesus comes. Pray for you, everyone, by name. My dear friend, listen, he said, continue that. Listen, what God did this past week is just the beginning, if we'll do one thing, if we'll continue. If we'll continue and I believe in the Word of God, live in the Word of God, reading the Word of God, practicing the Word of God, if we'll continue in our fellowship, that is our assembling together in one accord, in our loving one another, and in our praying one for another. They prayed one for another. Several references about praying in the Word of God, but I won't turn to all of them. But he said this, you pray one for another. You bear one another's burdens, and you pray one for another. I'm telling you, you ought to continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. Let me show you something else from the Word of God. Notice in chapter 14 of this book of Acts, you're in the book of Acts, go to chapter 14 and verse number 22. Chapter 14, and I call your attention to verse number 22. Listen to what the Word of God says. He said this in chapter number 14, verse number 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Continue in faith. How many of you believe God can do anything? Raise your hand. Thank you. How many of you pray believing that God was going to bless you in revival? Raise your hand. Good exercise, this one. How many of you believe God blessed in revival? You know why? Because you believed He would. You had faith He would. And God answered prayer. He said, continue in faith. Keep on believing God. Keep on believing that God can, that God will. Listen, continue. The key is continuing. I was going to bring a yo-yo this morning. I found the strangest thing out on my old fence row. I was cleaning out the fence row back in the early part of the spring. Found old bottles back there. I found a yo-yo. I don't know telling how old that yo-yo is. It's been back there a long, long time. Been back there long enough that the string, pieces of the string was in it, but it had rotted out. I guess termites and rats or whatever. Not rats, but termites and something got in there. And the string was just all the pieces. And I looked at that yo-yo last night. I went and got that big dictionary down. I got all kind of stuff laid up there on the shelf where the dictionary's at. I had to take down a bunch of stuff to get to it. And I had old yo-yo laid up there. I thought about it when I found that. I wonder how long it's been buried back there. It was buried. It was down in the ground. Been there for years. I know the fellow that was there. Well, I've been there. Me and Regina have been there for probably 15 years now, a little longer. Another fellow was there. He's there 12 years. I don't know if it was his little girl or little boy or maybe way back yonder, 1969. The house built in 1969. Could have been the original owner. Could have been even before that house was even there. Somebody lost that yo-yo and it was buried. But I got to think about the yo-yo. You know, that yo-yo is a lot of fun, but you wind the string around it and you throw it down and it'll bring itself back up. You throw it down, it brings itself back up. But you have to wind it up. I mean, if you mess up, it'll come unwound and just hang there, won't be nothing. You have to keep winding it up, make it come up and down. And you know what a lot of Christians are? They are yo-yo Christians. You just have to wind them up every now and then for them to get to do anything. If you don't wind them up, they just hang there. They don't do anything. I don't want to be like that to you. I want to continue in a doctrine. I want to continue in fellowship. I want to continue in being faithful to the Word of God. Listen, times are changing, but the Word of God hadn't changed. I mean, we need to stay by the stuff. And listen, I want to share something with you. I didn't share it with you a while ago because by faith, for by grace are you saved through faith. You believe that? I do. I believe you're saved by grace through faith. I want you to look in chapter of 1 Timothy again. Go back to 1 Timothy. I'll be through here in just a second. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is admonishing young Timothy. He's admonished him, have no fellowship with unfruitful workers of darkness, all those things. But in chapter 4, verse 16, he says this, take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. That's what I'm talking about, continuing in the doctrine, teaching the faithfulness of the Word of God. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Listen, if you want to be a blessing to people, you don't compromise, you don't change, you stay with the Word of God. You stay with that. People say, well, we got to change this, change that to cater to certain people. I read this statement. I know I repeated it on Wednesday night, but I want to share it again. I read this thing some time ago, and it said this. If our worship is geared to draw people or to entertain people, it is not worship. If it is geared to draw people or entertain people, it is not worship. Paul said this, you stay faithful to the Word of God. If you'll do that, he said, it'll bless you and others can get saved. People say, well, Brother Billy, you know, a lot of people's changing. They got all of this going on, this big business and big showtime and all these other things, and they're gearing things in a contemporary mode. And boy, they're having great crowds. I watched just a little bit of football yesterday, not much. But in one of those places I looked at, there was a whole bunch of people. I mean a crowd of them. They were gathered. And a great gathering of people does not mean that the truth is being preached. You know what I'm saying? It's a matter of whether or not we want to entertain people or soothe people or cater to people, or if we want to see people genuinely saved. If we want to see them saved, we're going to stay with the Bible. We're going to stay with those old hymns that were written out of a broken heart and close to God and the anointing of God's on them. I'm going to tell you, the bottom line is this. If you want to see people saved, you better continue in the doctrine of this book, the faithfulness to the truth of this book. Continue in your faithfulness to the house of God. Continue in faith. One last thing. In the book of Acts chapter 13 and verse 43. Notice this, Acts 13 and verse number 43. And he said this, "Now when the congregation was broken up and many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them," that is Paul and Barnabas speaking to these Jews and to those proselytes, here's what they said, "persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." Continue in the grace of God. I'm going to tell you something. If you'll continue in the grace of God, that is, continue in the principle of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. The preaching of grace, that is, that there's no other way to be saved but by grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But also it means the practice of grace. That is, that you see people as God sees them, as sheep gone astray, as people who've got problems, people who are hurting, and you minister to them in grace. You love them. I mean, when God's people fall, and sometimes they do, you love them anyhow. You stay with them, and you love them. And God's people, he said, "You who are spiritual, restore such a one." Practicing grace. Like he extended grace to me and you. Somebody said, grace is God's unmerited favor. None of us deserved it. Most of the people we know, everybody we know, doesn't really deserve it. But we practice that grace. And he persuaded them, they persuaded them to continue in grace. That is the fact that you're saved by grace, that you live grace, that you practice grace, you preach grace. My dear friend, listen, here's the test. Here's the test. The Bible says when the Lord comes back, will he find faith in the earth? I used to think, boy, he's talking about lost people and would anybody be getting saved back then? That's not what he's talking about at all. When you read the context, you understand that. He's talking about me and you. He's talking about when he comes back, will he find us faithful, continuing in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in prayer and in faith and in grace. I tell you how, if you want to see God bless, you don't stop now. Don't just take a breath, say, praise God, God, we had a great revival. Can't hardly wait till Brother Rand or somebody else comes back through. But if you'll be faithful and just stay like that old, like Craig sings, you stay with this book. Live it. Praise God, live it. And be faithful. You'll see God work and bless. It's worked all these years. Worked all these years. Don't listen. Don't get hyped and then die. You get faithful and live. Let's bow together for prayer. With every head bowed, every eye closed, thank God for what God's done, what God's doing. I thank the Lord for that. Now here's the test. Will you continue? Will you continue? Will you continue? They continued in one accord. They continued, the Bible said, in the apostles' doctrine. Be faithful. We don't change what the Bible says to suit us or suit anybody else. We're faithful to the Word of God. Faithful to that. And then I ask you, will you be faithful in your fellowship? Their fellowship was based around the things of God, the house of God. And in doing that, they loved one another. They prayed one for another. They shared one with another. I didn't emphasize that, but they did. That was the fellowship. It was all based on what they believed and their fellowship around the things of God, the house of God. Will you continue in faith? Will you believe God's able? Will you pray believing God is able? If he doesn't answer your prayer tomorrow or the next day or next week, will you say, I'm going to pray? Will you continue in faith and be faithful though things don't go your way? Job lost his family. He lost his occupation, lost all of his treasure, lost his own health, sitting on an ash heap. His wife came and said, why don't you curse God and die? You know what he said in so many words? He said, I think I'm going to just continue on with him. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You're going to be faithful when things not going your way? Will you be consistent and faithful when your health is gone? Will you keep on serving God when the tide of society is going 180 degrees away from you? Will you stay firm and stand on the Word of God and live the Word of God, preach the Word of God? I am convinced that there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm convinced that salvation is by grace through faith. It's only by grace and only by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And only by him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. So I'll just keep on believing that, keep on preaching that, keep on trying to live that till Jesus comes. Will you be faithful? Will you continue? Will you drive a stake down to say and today and say this, I'm going to continue. I'm going to continue. I'm not going to be wishy-washy in and out. Nobody's going to have to hunt me down, run me down, try to get me in church. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to get in the Word of God. I'm going to fellowship with God's people. I love them, pray for them. I'll be a part of the active ministries of this church. I want to be faithful to the things of God.